is it that makes us righteous in the sight of God? How can we know that our sins have been forgiven, that God will welcome us home to His presence at the end of this life? Is it because of our physical lineage, or perhaps because of our religious affiliation? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This program is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Jim addresses what it means to believe God, and why God is determined to count us as righteous. There is no more important questions you will face today. So let's join Pastor Jim as he shares the light of the Word.
Galatians chapter 3. Once you have found that third chapter, if you'd find the sixth verse, and please stand with me that we might honor God with that reading of His Word. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that in those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Father, I ask now that you would speak through me. Lord, I thank you that you have forgiven me of my wretchedness. I thank you that you have forgiven me of my sin, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you, through me, would make much of yourself today. And that these who are here would hear your word, Lord, that they would have ears to hear your word, and that they would praise your holy name. We lay this at your feet. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. What did Abraham believe God about? Remember? God came to him and called him out of his home, didn't he? He called him out of his country, that he should go away from his father's house into a place that God didn't even tell him where it was, just a direction to go. In fact, God told him that he would tell him when the time came. And Abraham believed God. Then God told Abraham that he would have a child, which really made very little sense because of his age, right? And not only his age, but the age of his wife. But he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. What is so important about righteousness? What is so important about that being accounted to him as righteousness? Let me ask you this. Who will go to heaven? Who will come into the Father's kingdom without righteousness? Will anybody? The only way in is through righteousness, isn't it? Now, all of us, since we all say we're going to heaven, that means we're all righteous people, right? Again, no. We are not righteous. So there is this great void between the righteous coming in to God's kingdom and those who believe being righteous people. We need something to be accounted to us as righteousness. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second and back up to Abraham. Was Abraham a perfect person? We know that Abraham often sinned, didn't he? We don't need to go through the whole list. I wouldn't want anybody going through my whole list from this week, let alone any other time. But Abraham lied twice about who Sarah was, didn't he? He said, "Oh, this is my sister." Why? Because he did not trust God to take care of him. Folks, that's sin, right? That's sin. He did not trust God to take care of him. We also know that he did not trust God to bring the promise of the Son. Neither did he. If he had believed God and trusted God to come through with that, even as he waited, then he would never have taken Sarah's concubine, her servant. And he would never have had the son Ishmael. But since he did not trust God, his sin was revealed, wasn't it? So he was not perfect. He needed the same thing you and I needed. He needed to be counted as righteous. And not by us. Because there's many of us who could look at him and say, "Well, compared to me, Abraham was a pretty righteous guy." But we aren't the measuring stick, are we? What is the measuring stick of righteousness? It is Jesus Christ, the Lord, isn't it? And if Jesus Christ is the measuring stick of righteousness, Abraham failed miserably, didn't he? So he needed God to count it to him as righteousness. What is it that God counted to him as righteousness? That he believed God. What did he really believe about God? He believed that God would provide the lamb, that God would provide the way for him. Now, we know that that lamb and that way is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he is that doorway. This is what Abraham trusted. He trusted God to provide this and believed God. Verse 7 says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Now, we have many ways of looking at the genealogy of Abraham, but most of us have a pretty good idea who came after Abraham, right? Who is the next one in line? Isaac. Now, Isaac had a pair of sons, right? But only one of them was the next heir in line. Who was the next heir in line? Jacob, right? Who we called Israel. So, from Israel, there comes how many tribes? 12 tribes. There's 12 sons that bring us the 12 tribes and their descendants. This is the body or the fleshly offspring of Abraham, right? Isn't that what that is? Isn't that what we know? This is the fleshly offsprings of Abraham. This is his bloodline, so to speak. And they're proud of it to this very day. In Jesus' day, it was addressed many, many times as Jesus told them who they were, told them of them and about themselves, they would get upset. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 8. I'm going to start in the 39th verse. And they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. So he's already challenged them here, right? He's challenged them. They answered him, Abraham is our father. But he said, no, Abraham's not your father. Well, we know that in the bloodline, Abraham is their father, their ancestor. They come through his bloodline. But Jesus says, oh no, you're not Abraham's. This was enough to infuriate them. This was enough to infuriate them because this was something they were very proud of. They were proud of their heritage, much like most of you. If you have done any research in your heritage, I have people come and tell me, well, you know, I'm descended from so-and-so. At one point, we did a little bit of research on my bloodlines, and somewhere in there, DeBruce of Scott was a relative somehow. It's okay. It's not as important to me as it is to the Jew, that they are the physical descendants of Abraham. But Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. Abraham believed God. That's the works. But you seek to kill me. A man who has told you truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. See, this is the works that they were doing. They were seeking to kill him because of the truth. Abraham sought out the truth. Abraham wanted what was right and wanted to honor God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Verse 41 here in John 8, you are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. So they're arguing with Jesus. Well, if we're not Abraham's descendants, but we're God's. But we're Abraham's descendants, but we're certainly God's descendants. We are his children. Because God said he chose us in Abraham. And Jesus says, you're doing the works of your father. He hasn't told them yet who it is, but they know. That's why they responded with, we were not born of sexual immorality. If God were your father, you would love me. The evidence of the fact that they do not love Jesus shows that they are not the true descendants, the spiritual descendants, definitely not, of Abraham. He goes on to tell him who it is. He says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Let me tell you, people who do not trust God cannot bear to hear the truth. They cannot bear to hear the truth because the truth cuts to the very core of who we are, doesn't it? God's word is a sword. It's a two-edged sword. And it cuts to the very bone and marrow. And it does for those who do not have ears to hear it. It angers them. And so Jesus is going to tell them why in verse 44 here. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. They couldn't believe Jesus. They could not take the truth. Friends, in churches across the country today, around the world today, there are pastors who are standing up and they're not giving the milk to the congregation. They're given a lie because the congregation would turn on them if they gave them truth. Because even milk is truth. So what they have to give is a lie. They have to entertain them. They have to make them happy, so to speak. Verse 47 there in John 8 says, whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. When I was preaching through Romans, and we got to that 9th chapter of Romans where this is discussed, when we got to that, we looked very deeply at the fact that those who do not hear and believe God's word are not his. Period. Why don't people want it? Because they're of their father, the devil. Because their life and their heart is full of this world. When something happens in our life, our behavior shows who we belong to, doesn't it? Those things that come out of our mouth, those show who we belong to. I remember years ago, a man in our church down in Texas was telling me that the pastor, Brother Irvin, he had come by the house, and as Brother Irvin had come out to the shop where he was, just as Brother Irvin walked into the shop, he accidentally hit his thumb with a hammer. And as he was expressing himself, we'll say, he turned around and saw the pastor standing there. What comes out of the mouth? What's in the heart, right? These events, these hardships, these tragedies squeeze us and reveal what is inside of us. So, those who believe are truly the sons of Abraham, the spiritual sons of Abraham. It's Romans 9, beginning in the 6th verse. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all the children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. The children of the promise. Jesus Christ is the promise, isn't he? He is the promise. And those who are of him, or those who are in him, and those who he is in, are the children of promise. I think a lot of people understand this. I think a lot of non-Christian church leaders and church people understand this. So what they do is they create in their own self a way to be in Christ, or at least to have Christ in us. We call it asking Jesus into your heart. All you got to do is say this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. There are some things that the Bible does not say, some words that it does not use that are still biblically and doctrinally correct. And there are some things that are not. We need to be in Christ. Yes, we surrender to him. Absolutely, 100%. Yes, we receive him. But the only way we seek him is when he has sought us and given us faith. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before him to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. I love this. The scripture seeing, what is the scripture? What's another name for the scripture? The word. In John, the gospel of John, we find out that the word has a name too, doesn't it? What is the name of the word? Jesus. And the scripture and Jesus, or God, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before him to Abraham. People have asked me, how did people in the Old Testament get saved? It's the same way as the people in the New Testament and after, isn't it? It is by the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is by believing. And the believing comes by faith. And the faith comes by the work and hand of God. Period. So those who believe, those who have received, those who have surrendered. And by the way, sometimes I struggle with that word surrender, because how often, you who are Christian, how often have you surrendered something and then taken it back? Lord, I have this problem. I surrender it to you. And then you pick up the problem as you walk away from the cross. Because, like Abraham, sometimes we forget that God is able, don't we? He is able to keep us. He is able to protect us. We don't have to say our wife is our sister, because God is able. So the gospel, so the word of God beforehand showed even to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. There are some who believe what this means is the other descendants. By other descendants that are not in that line from Abraham, we are talking about Ishmael, right? And any who come out from Ishmael, we are also talking about who else? Esau? And all that come out from Esau. Or as the Bible would call them, the Edomites? Is that what they would call it? How blessed were the Edomites? God had some pretty direct words for the Edomites, didn't he? He said, I will destroy you. He said, in fact, I will not only destroy you, but I will destroy everything you have and even the very ground that you occupy. But some people want to say that when he says all of these nations will be blessed, he's talking about all the nations of those descendants. That's not true. So what other nations is there? Well, that's all the Gentile nations, right? All those who are Gentile, it's all of them, including you and I. So how are we to be blessed? Well, as we've been going through Galatians, one way that the Judaizers thought that we would be blessed is by becoming Jew to become Christian. So to go and be circumcised. That's not it. That's not it. The circumcision did nothing for them. This idea of being blessed in Abraham is very intense. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. How shall they be blessed? By Jesus Christ. By believing. Because if it was Abraham's acts, if it was his deeds, his good works, it would be like so many today seem to think, well, I try to do more good things than I do bad things. Do you suppose Abraham's good things outweighed his bad things? Probably not. Okay, definitely not. So they need something else. They need something to carry them. Just one other verse in this about this before we continue. Genesis 18:18 says, in you shall all nations be blessed. So when Paul's coming up with this, and Paul's writing this, and Paul's teaching this to the Galatians, and of course the Judaizers who have come in behind him, they're going to hear this as well, all the way to the church today. He is warning the people that it is not the physical, it is not the fleshly offspring of Abraham who will be blessed in Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is Christ Jesus, is God. It's God's kingdom. It's heaven. And that blessing that comes to all the world comes through Jesus Christ. Yes, it's through his lineage, but it's because he believed. Philippians 1:25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in faith. As Paul's writing to the Philippians, he's saying, when you believe what is true, when you walk in progress of your understanding of who God is, and anyone who belongs to God is going to walk in the progress. Because if you belong to God, you're going to desire more. We've had this conversation many times. You're going to desire more. You're going to spend more time with you. You're going to pray more. You're going to want to read more. You're going to grow. And there comes a place in that growth, because of the knowledge of who God is, that joy is overwhelming. Now, don't get me wrong. Things happen sometimes that tear down our happiness, right? We've probably all, every person in this room, at some time in the last few months, have had something take place that ripped your happiness down, tore it down. But it doesn't have to take your joy, because your joy is in Christ. I said earlier, I wanted to talk a moment about when we say God is good. When the worst thing that can happen to you or I happens, God is still good. When life seems to be ripped apart in front of us, God is still good. He's not good because of what He does. He is good because of who He is. And He is always good. There was the man who came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher." Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but the Father." Or we got in those movies where we were sending out "God is good" on the cell phones. I was getting texts from people all over the place. I'd watch that movie and I'd get this text from them. "God is good." He is. But not because you enjoyed that movie. And not because the final result was positive. He's good because He is God. We need to understand this. Because if we think that God's goodness is attached to the blessings in the flesh, our joy in God is going to be doing this. Have you met people that the joy in God does that? They're going along, they're happy, they're good, and then something happens and all of a sudden they're down here at the very floor. You might say that it's a type of test even of who God is in your life. Because if God is God and you see Him for who He is, the joy will be full. But when your belief is based upon what you see with your eyes, you'll be ripped apart. Your faith will be ripped apart. In the last 20 years, and really I should say longer than that, because the pastor that I trained in the ministry under, he was what they called a pastor's pastor, where all the local pastors would come to him. They would seek him out because he was their pastor. But in the last 20 years, I have had the great pleasure to minister to a number of former pastors. Unfortunately, some of them were so broken down by the things that took place in ministry. One to the point that he kept the name Reverend in front of his name so that he could do weddings, but he no longer believed in God. No longer believed in God. The church he was at was vicious. They attacked him, they attacked his kids, and his kids followed him. Out of the four kids, I do not believe that any of them have anything to do with God or the church whatsoever. His faith was in the wrong thing, wasn't it? He believed in the wrong thing. I shared some of this last week. I share again this week. Cynthia and I have faced some pretty heavy-duty things in the last 20-something years of ministry. We have had people that we loved, for whatever reason, consider us their enemies. We have had people that we have come alongside of and sacrifice for, quit talking to us because of God's word. That did not cause us to lose our faith in God. What that did was pushed us on in Him, because the truth is important. The truth is the only way. I was reading a story this week about Winston Churchill. Remember Winston Churchill from England? First off, did you realize that three times it looked like his career was over, and he came back three times? He was asked to do a commencement address. This was his last public appearance before his death. At this point, he was very sick, very ill, very weak, and he agreed to do the commencement address. They helped him up when the time came to the pulpit, and holding on to the pulpit to hold him in a standing position, he had his head bowed down for several seconds. And then he looked up and he said this: "Never give up. Never give up. Never give up." Three times. And then he sat back down and was done with his speech. There were several moments of silence, and then those words from the man who refused to surrender his country to Nazi Germany rang in the minds of all who heard it. And without any prompting, the entire audience stood up at one time and began to applaud. Folks, the Judaizers have their reason why the Galatians weren't really Christians. The world around you has a reason. They're going to call out your sin. They're going to call out your mistakes. They're going to have all these reasons why you are not a Christian. But if God has saved you, if you are regenerated, if you believe, you are a child of Abraham, the man of faith. And the very thing that Abraham clung to in that closeness with God is the thing that you have. So no matter what's going on, you can turn to God and he will carry you through. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times in my life when I need carried through. There's a lot of times in my life when I don't have the strength for the next step. Have you been there? I need him to get me through. And if you are his, you need him to carry you, to bring you. You need to be able to trust him. Since we spoke of Winston Churchill for a second, I was thinking about a story I heard years ago. And I may have shared this recently, I don't know. All those things in my head, they come and go. The story was during the bombings that were taking place in England, the raid whistle blew, and the man grabbed his dog and started heading for the shelter. But his dog wanted to play. His dog wanted to play. He couldn't get his dog to understand the gravity of the danger that they were in, because the dog had this: as long as he was with the master, he was okay. Folks, as long as we are with the master, it doesn't matter the bombs that are falling on us. We are okay. We keep our eyes on God. Amen. Please stand with me. Father, as we close this message, Lord, we need you. We are in the understanding that apart from you, there is no true joy. We also understand that apart from you, there is no peace. We also understand, Lord, that if we trust you, that through any trouble, through any tragedy, through any weight, we can count on you. So, Lord, we ask that you carry us as we are too weak to carry ourselves, and that you be glorified in us as you have made us spiritual heirs of Abraham, his offspring. And here in a week or two, Lord, we'll look at the great inheritance that is given us. We lift up those things we prayed about. We lift up those who hear this message. May they be encouraged by you. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
When we are with the Master, we will be okay. These are words of comfort, words to live by. For our relationship with God is based on the fact that we're with him, that we're found in him, that he has determined to call us righteous. And all of the good that we hope to find is anchored in that relationship that he has made with us, because he has made us his own. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.